Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Kim Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Oh, look at you!
All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. The point was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it is time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Brian. Some people call me Big B. Some people say this is your morning BJ in the morning, Brian Jackson. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the show. We are global. Headline, what we're going to talk about today. The queers are getting weird again. The queers are out of control. They're out of control. They're out of control. They're running away. They're running down the street with scissors, clipping things and painting rainbows all over places. I'm not a homophobic, but these queers are getting weird. And they're gaining, I'm a big fan for equal rights, civil rights. I'm there. But there's enough. I feel that the queers are bullying us straight people. I really do. I think they got the bully queer puppet. That'd be funny. Where I live right now as I sit, the last 3 days, helicopters and police officers are going down the street. I'm thinking, what the hell's going on? I turn on the local news. There they are, the queers. Well, they're queers time two. There's transgenders. So I think it's queer to the second power. You know, so there they are. It's an elementary school. It's an elementary school, K through 6. I think I even said it yesterday. And what they want to do is June is supposed to be Pride Month. So what the queers want to do is that they want the kids to celebrate Pride Month, learn about Pride Month, learn about Pride, learn about queer. Queer is in your ears. See, I don't want to sound like an old dude, right? I mean, I'm in the entertainment industry. I know queers. Gays, the gays. Oh, I know the gays. Oh, the gays. They got a little chip on their shoulder and a little butt plug up the hoo-ha. The gays. But I get along with the gays. You know, hey, gay. You know, I'm greeting people. Hey. Yeah, you know, they're queer as fuck, man. They're just running around, floating around, parades here, there, and if you look at them the wrong way, uh-oh, you get that queer hate going on, you know, that queer revenge. And we're going to talk about the queers and the gays. We're going to talk about that. And if you're queer, if you're gay, if you're confused, if you're a pronoun, you're welcome to come into this studio. You know, show your, oh boy, whatever. But you got your panties in a snit, my friends. That's it. You got your panties in a snit. Pat is usually here. She's one of the morning crew. She's a psychic, and sometimes she has to stay up all night if she wants to see the show. But she requested me to make a live call to her and let her know the show is on. And we're going to do that right after this. So listen, you sit back, relax. It's Friday. And then we're going to find the definition of being a queer. Well, I really don't have to read the definition of queer. Here's what it is. Here's a queer test. You get a fine-ass woman walk behind you with a nice Levi's, and you look at her ass and you say, yum, yum. That's your test. You are not a queer. Same woman walks by you and you go, yucky, yucky. Or you say, you know, I can wear those pants better than her. Bingo. You might be a queer. That's it. That's the test. Queerness. Queer as fuck. I might be the test there. I'm not for everyone. I'm an acquired taste, just like coffee. Strong and black. Sometimes you put a little sugar cube in it and I'm sweet. You know what I'm saying? And lay teeth. And, you know, that's just it. But the queers are pissing me off. Queers are pissing me off. Queers are pissing me off. I think the roof is on fire. The roof. I mean, they're running around with scissors and matches. I think the fire is burning. Save the wife and kids. The roof is on fire. It's a queer roof. Run. You can tell it's a queer roof because it's all painted like rainbow colors and everything. And it's like waiting for a leprechaun to slide down your chimney. It's a queer roof. The roof is on fire. I think it is. Save the kids. Save the kids. Save the wife and kids. Save the straight people. The queers are coming, and they got lighters and matches.
The roof is on fire. The roof is on fire. The roof is on fire.
Burning that shit down.
We don't need no water, let the motherfucker burn.
Black is, so if man is five and the devil is six, then that must make me
Motherfucker. Burn. Yeah, happy Friday, everybody. If you'd like to come into the studio. Oh, I can't. I gotta do this. Well, I'm writing a song. I'm gonna love this song that I'm writing. I was up all night writing a song. It's a great song. I'm almost done.
Everybody, here we go. Come on, party people. Throw your hands in the air. Come on, party people.
Yeah.
Wave them like you don't care. Come on, party people. Everybody say ho.
Ho. Here we go, 319-529-5279. I promise I'm a fire investigator for the command and wake up. What we're going to do is Pat gave me permission to call her house if I was going to be on today. I usually don't do that. But it's Friday. I'm not going to be on for a while. I think I'm going to probably get a lot of tutti-frutti gay people running around in pink and yellow shorts and tighty-whities with a package hanging out and tassels on their nipples protesting me. Wow. Well, that's what happens. Okay, let's see if we can make a call. It's been a long time. We used to make calls in the studio all the time. Let's see if we can make a call here. Now, Pat specifically said, now, she's not up. She said her husband will answer the phone. So this is a live call. So I think we were the only ones who used to do this shit. I don't think anybody on Blog Talk makes live calls but us. And maybe I feel, you know what, I feel kind of, what do you call it, mischievous, naughty, whatever. Maybe we should call a gay place. Yeah, you know, it's Pride Month, right? What kind of places are gay, though? I don't know. I don't know where the gays hang out. I don't know their business, except as a bar, you know, but they're already closed. So what offices or what companies got to just yell out gay so I could call them and wish them a happy Pride. As we go on with the show and everything, I'll find a gay place. But I'm making a live call to Pat Overland. Here we go. Let's see if it works. The roof is on fire. The roof is on fire. We don't need no water. Let the motherfucking burn. Burn, motherfucker. Burn. Nice tune. Well, I don't think he's up either. I got three little ringy dingies.
You have reached 905-93-7-1-9.
That was close. Hey, well, I tried. If you could think of a gay place for me to call, I don't know any. What would be a company? I mean, it's not like there's a sign that says, you know, fags or us or gays or away or something. I don't know. But I'm trying to think of any kind of thing that could be gay that I could call them. Must be a gay hotline. I bet you. Let's see if there's a gay hotline. Oh, that would be good. Okay, let me see. Gay hotline. Let me see if there's a gay hotline. I wonder if there's a gay hotline. Let me see. Doug Gays. There is. The LGBTQIA Resource Center. This is the number. Hey, you know, I gotta be gay to fit in, right? Okay. Let me get my gay. I'm gonna get my gay on. It hurts. I feel like you're transferring. You know, when the movies where the wolf man transforms and the man turns into a wolf and his nails grow and his feet grow and the hair. Well, when you want to fit in with the gays, you got to break your wrist and your wrist to go. There you go. You got to get that wrist floppy. You got to have a floppy wrist. You can't do anything because that wrist has to be flying everywhere when you talk. You know, that wrist is going like, it's like a Jerry curl. You turn your head and you get all that juice in your face and everything. So that wrist has to be flying. So let me get my gay on. Get my gay on. I guess it's my feminine side that I have to get my gay on. I'm going to get the, this is the number. Click here for the national hotline. Wait a minute. Let me see here. Let me see. The LGB support lines. The Trevor Project. There's always a gay. If you got six gays in the room, one guy's going to be named Trevor. And another guy probably named Butch. Who knows? Well, here's the hotline. I'm going to call the number. That's suicide prevention. Oh, the project is the leading national organization providing crisis intervention and suicide prevention services to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queers, and questioning, and young people under 25. What do you mean, young people? Text, instant messages. It's like a suicide hotline. You know. Wait a minute. Free and confidential peer support for the LGBT and questioning community ages. Maybe I'll click that one. There's a website. It probably says gay as fuck. What is the website? Okay. Let me see here. I got to get my national hotline. We provide a safe place that is anonymous and confidential where callers can speak. Okay, it's safe. I don't want to call this suicidal thing. I don't. But this is another one. This is just for people to be safe, you know. I'm going to give them a little ringy-dingy. I got to get my gay on. Hold on. Hello. Hey. Okay, got it. Hey. All right, got it. Got to get my gay on. All right, here we go. I'm calling right now. Shh. Well, I'm telling you, shoot. I can only hear you. I shouldn't be shushing you. Shh. I got to get into character. Hey. Okay, got it. Hey. No. Too butch. Hey. Too rough. Hey. Too bisexual. Hey. There you go. Gay.
Hi, this is the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender National Hotline, a program of the LGBT National Help Center.
Yes.
We are currently closed. Our hours are Monday through
what?
Friday from 4 p.m. to midnight, and Saturday from noon to 5 p.m. Eastern. You may also...
All right, you're forcing me to... You're forcing my hand, my weak hand here. Let me see here. How dare you be close, you little gay son of a... Okay, here, let me see here. The Trevor Project. Providing crisis intervention. Well, this might be a crisis. Here we go. Dude, the roof. All right, let's do an intervention here. Let me try this one last time. Sometimes this doesn't go well because it's a cold call. I don't even know the number I'm going to call until I got on the air. Yeah, but let's call the crisis. This is kind of a crisis, right? I mean, they're picketing Starbucks, and I need my coffee. It's a crisis. I see. Let's go here. Okay. I'm gonna get a letter from Blog Talk. I know I'm gonna get a Mr. Brian. Yes, Blog Talk. We got a lot of complaints. Yeah, so. Well, Mr. Brian, did you read our code of conduct? No, I don't. I didn't read the code of conduct. Well, you cannot offend anybody. You cannot use swear words. You cannot do this. You cannot do this. And we just heard that the title of your show is Queer or Weird. Yeah. Well, I don't think that's appropriate, miss. So what? Fuck you. Did you just say fuck you? I said fuck you twice. Did you say fuck you? That is not appropriate. Fuck you again. Well, I will not tolerate that conversation. Fuck you three times. Goodbye. Okay, nice talking to you. That's how it goes. That's how the conversation goes. All right, let me see if I can get this. Okay. Shh. What am I telling you to shh? You can't hear me. Shh.
We're glad you called Trevor Lifeline. If this is a life-threatening emergency, please dial 911. This call may be recorded to improve our services.
Thank you. Hey. Hey. The roof.
Trevor Lifeline, this is Morgan.
Hey. Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Okay. Well, my name is Larry, and I just needed to talk to somebody. I just came out about a month ago, and I wanted to celebrate Pride. Go, brothers and sisters. Love ya. But the reason I'm calling is I have a friend who has not quite yet come out. He hasn't come out, but around the weekend, you know, he liked to party with all of us. Woo, woo, you know what I'm saying? But then he had a talk with me. He had a talk with me, and he said, girl, I really need to talk to somebody. I said, well, there's a hotline where you can call, but I'll call for you because you're so afraid. Do you have any suggestions? I don't want to push him, you know? I don't want to push him. I don't want to be too pushy. So do you have any suggestions on how I could just get him to come out and start talking? Because he's celebrating Pride Month. He's wearing a mask like it's the Mardi Gras, you know what I'm saying? But I really want him to be happy because he's not happy with himself. He's just not happy, you know? He's not happy. So do you have any suggestions?
Yeah.
That's why I called you. Yeah. Mm.
So suggestions to help them come out?
Yes. I talk to him, but I don't want to push. But just he wants to, but he's not strong enough. I'm going to tell you a secret. He's married. He's married to a bitch. That girl is a bitch girl. You know, he don't even let him go out anymore. You know, he has to sneak out and all that, but I think he wants to stay married, but he's not happy. He wants to come out. So then I don't want to interfere with his marriage. I don't. I'm calling you. You're the expert, but I'm calling you. So what do we do?
Mm-hmm. I can definitely hear, like, you know, your friend is navigating a lot. I would say, like, I'm not really an expert on this particular kind of field. Like, we're not, like, therapists or anything like that here.
Right.
You know, I would probably say that, you know, the best thing is to support them and talk to them and ask them what is it that they want for themselves and what they want for their own future to look like. Because, as you mentioned, they are... Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, we've been having this talk for a year now. Girlfriend just don't want to come out. You know, I got a thing for him. I'll be honest with you. I mean, we got kind of close one time. We went camping and we got a little close. We went a little fishing. And we did kiss a little bit, but he just held back. I know it's that bitch that he's with. It's that bitch. And I don't want to sound like a jealous bitch myself, but you know what I'm trying to say? I know he wants to come out. Maybe I can leave a little note. I left a little note on his door one time. He got really upset. He says, anybody can see this. Maybe he's just bi. You know, you're just confused.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I mean, since I don't really, you know this person better than I do.
Yes.
But I think, like, you know, regardless of what anyone else does, they're probably going to approach this at their own speed, approach this in a way that is comfortable for them. And I think the most we can do is just be supportive and try to help them along their way.
I guess we could. We could try it that way. I'm just going to rape his ass, turn him back to our side. That's what he needs is a good raping, right up there.
I'm not really sure that would probably be the best way to approach that.
No, you're right. That wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be good.
Well,
I want to thank you. Mm-hmm. You seem so nice, and thank you for your time. It's a hard situation. You know, it's very hard. In fact, so I jack off about, you know, I think about him and me together and with a candy cane and everything. I got this nice little black outfit that I wear sometimes, and I see him looking at me, you know. I see him looking at me. I know it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I definitely hope the best for the both of you, and yeah, I definitely hope that you get some rest.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to leave now, but thank you. It's nice to hear a comforting voice. And, well, ta-ta. And,
take care.
You too. You take care, too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Toodles. Bye-bye. Whew. Well, that was our gay talk for today. Hey, what a nice man that was. All right, we're going to start the show. If you'd like to come in the studio. If you'd like to come in the studio, the number is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson. Our title today is The Queers Are Getting Weird Again. They're getting weird. The employees, and here's what I mean by getting weird. Check this out. I'm in the union. I'm in SAG-AFTRA union. I'm a union guy. I'm a union. So the queers are upset because they cannot decorate Starbucks. The queers who work at Starbucks, they cannot decorate. They want to on Pride Week. So the company says, well, we can't just come in here and decorate. I mean, we got our colors. We're Starbucks. Well, then the queers are upset because they say, well, we can't decorate. We're going to pick it. We're going to pick it, and we're going to strike. That's what's happening. So there's 3,500 stores that they plan on striking because the queers cannot decorate their shops for Pride Week. That's what's going on, and we're going to get more into depth about it. And that's it. And we'll start our show real soon. I'm trying to find something, a song, and give you a chance to come in the studio. That's it. And we'll see you in the studio. We'll be right back with The Queers Are Getting Weird. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. We'll be back in a minute.
This is how we do it.
Hit the shop cause I'm faded. Honey's in the streets, say money, yo, we made it. It feels so good in my hood tonight. The summertime skirts and my guys ain't canine. All the gangbangers forgot about the drive-by. You gotta get your groove on before you go get paid. So tip up your cup and throw your hands up and let me hit a party.
they said was 6'8", he stood. And people thought the music that he made was good. Then there's the DJ, and Paul was his name. He came up to money, this is what he said. You and OG are gonna make some cash. Sell a million records and we're making the dash. Oh, I'm buzzing the club.
This is how we do it.
Sounds like truth, like nobody does.
It's Friday, baby. It's Friday. Friday. I love being with you guys on Friday.
This is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's bound to happen. Here's the headline here. Let me see here. Headline. Transgender male boxer Patricio Manuel, he picks up another victory in a third career fight. Yeah, look at this hero. He says, I know that I don't speak, wait, forget this. Patricio, let's call him Pat, Manuel, he's a transgender male boxer. So that means female to male. He picked up the third victory of his professional career earlier this month when he defeated Alex Garcia. Gutierrez, via unanimous decision in the fourth round, super featherweight. Oh, my God. What if, I'm looking at the picture, excuse me. Manuel, 37, was the first transgender boxer to compete at the pro level when he made his debut in 2018. He scored a unanimous decision then as well, that time over Hugo Aguilar. So male, he's male, so he's transgender, so it had to be female to male, and it has no shirt on. I don't know what to think about that. Then he picked up another win. He got stitches, hung with some of my people, did the thing. I love with sacrifices, but not the compromises. All in all, 10-10, Manuel wrote on his Instagram about the June 8th win over Gutierrez. Thanks to my team and sparring partners for guidance, help at Heather McFeather for the weight cut, at Golden Boy for the opportunity to compete on the big stage, my opponent for saying yes, and everyone who cheered me on, both in the stands or on the screen. Full of gratitude this is life I have consciously constructed for myself and that I get to share it with so many people. Manuel is now 3-0 since turning pro on the men's circuit. He defeated Halen Hung back in March. Well, there you go. Whatever rocks your boat. There's some serious news going on. And this is really serious. And I don't get you people. I don't get you Republicans. You know, I used to think, you know, whatever. I'm beginning to hate you Republicans. I really am. You're a danger to society. You're an idiot. You're a moron. And you ballless, spineless bastards. But I will reserve my judgment. I don't want to say how I really feel. I don't. But case in point. Here we go right here. We called the gay people. So, DeSantis, you know, what do you guys have? What choice do you have, man? What do you really have? This motherfucker this little piece of rat turd. He just signed yesterday into law 6-week abortion ban. That's what he did. DeSantis praises South Carolina's 6-week abortion ban, but would he back normal national ban? And he's happy. He's going to. North Augusta, South Carolina. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He's trying to get your GOP nomination. He wants to be president of the United States so he can fuck us up instead of fucking Florida up. You know what I mean? So he wants to fuck everybody up. He says, I think that the progress right now is being made, really, from the bottom up. Hey, DeSantis said to the crowd of 400 to 500 people in a gym at River Park, Review Park, whatever. These places like South Carolina, Georgia, these places have done well, and some of these other states, you know. And it says it may not necessarily follow suit, but this will be something that we are going to be able to debate. His response to the question came 2 days ahead of 1 year anniversary of Roe versus Wade being overturned. DeSantis referenced Florida's 6-week abortion ban, known as the Heartbeat Protection Act. He signed this into law April. And he applauded the South Carolina similar efforts. He did not say whether he supported a 6-week or complete national abortion ban. He also criticized President Joe Biden and pro-abortion access. Oh, and let me tell you the fallout and some of the damages that this motherfucker and other people have done. You Republicans, piece of dirt. This was, a lot of people are going to a Good Friday funeral in Texas. They're going to a funeral of baby Halo. See, the parents, the reason baby Halo's dead, because the parents have few choices in the post-Roe versus Wade in Texas. But her name was Halo. See, Halo was born last week on March, well, it was born on March 29th. I'm reading this. Halo was born 2 weeks early and weighing 3 pounds. 3 pounds. She lived for about 4 hours, died in the arms of her father, Luis. Her mother, Samantha, knew their baby wouldn't survive long because she had, oh boy, it's a medical term, but you know what? We don't really need to know the word. Oh boy, I better say the word. I'm not a medical doctor because I haven't finished my degree on the internet yet, but I will say the word because it is, and I don't want to mispronounce it. Let me see if I can get one of those things, you know, that says the word. And here it is right here, because it's really important. It's really important. It's not a joke. Here we go. It's A-N-E-N-C-P-H-A-L-Y. That's the word. Wait, I'm getting sound here. I never knew I got sound here. Let me see. Well, why am I getting sound? Oh, maybe I'm not getting sound here. And what it is, it's a serious birth defect in which a baby is born without parts of the brain and skull. That's what it is. It's a type of tube defect. It helps form the baby's brain and skull, spinal cord injury and backbones. It's very, damn, it seems very painful. Oh, man. And you ask how many babies are born with, I'm going to try to spell anencephaly. It's the closest I can get. I'm sorry. It's the closest I can get. And if you see the paper, the picture, it's kind of awful. It's kind of, imagine being Bavarian without a skull. I'm going to try to pronounce it. I'm going to mispronounce it. So if you think, if it bothers you, come in the studio and correct me. I'm thinking it's anencephaly. Is a serious birth defect in which a baby is born without parts of the brain and skull. It is a type of neutral tube defect, NTD. It helps form the baby brain and skull. It happens if the upper part of the tube does not close all the way. This often results in a baby being born without the front part of the brain, the forebrain, and a thinking and coordinating part of the brain, the cerebrum. The remaining parts of the brain are often not covered by bone or skin. Your brain is out there. And you have to wonder how many babies are born with this. Well, researchers estimate about one in every 4,000 babies is born with this in the United States. It's born with this without the United States. The cause of, I'm going to try to pronounce it again, anencephaly, I'm doing the best I can. Most infants are unknown. Some babies have this because of a change in their genes or chromosomes. It might also be caused by a combination of genes and other factors, such as things the mother comes in contact with in the environment, or what mothers eat or drink, or certain medicines she uses during pregnancy. And the diagnosis, they could diagnose this during pregnancy. That's what they can do. That's what they can do. Well, you get the facts about what's going on here. You get the facts that's going on here, and this is a serious thing. I'm not a nurse. I do know a good one, but she happened to be out of the country. But it happens during pregnancy. So after the baby is born, in some cases, again, I'm trying to pronounce it, excuse the pronunciation, anencephaly, Ali, may not be diagnosed until the baby is born. There are no known treatments for this. Almost all babies born with this will die. It's a for sure death. It's a for sure death. It's a for sure death. So you get what I'm saying here. It's a for sure death. They will die. They will die. So the story goes, the woman was pregnant and she was diagnosed that her baby had this condition. It was part of Halo's brain and his skull would never develop. Now, these people, they couldn't afford their newborn daughter, the funeral they would like to give her. So it says here, then it says crushed after 20 weeks. So the Cassanos, that's the parents, they got the diagnosis 3 days after Christmas. After Christmas. It was at a prenatal appointment where she was 20 weeks pregnant. I was told she had an incompatible... that she's incompatible with life, she says, and I was crushed. She asked her OBGYN what her options were, and the casino said her doctor told her, well, because of the new law, you don't have any options. You have to go on with your pregnancy. Texas has among the strictest abortion laws in the country with these overlapping bans. One abortion ban predated Roe versus Wade. Another was triggered with Roe, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, there's a lot of mothers listen to the show, and there's a lot of women who are not mothers listen to the show, and this is not just for women. You know, guys, you got to get involved. What the fuck? What the fuck are you not doing? You know, there's a saying that when a good man does nothing, I forgot the rest. I'll look it up. But guys, what the fuck are you not doing? You got to get out there. Men don't like to protest. We don't like to do that. The casino wishes she could have ended the pregnancy in Texas as soon as she got the diagnosis. I should have had that choice, the right over my own body and over my daughter's body, to be able to tell my daughter it's time for you to rest, because she was going to end up having to rest anyway. After she got the diagnosis in December, she called the clinic that provided abortions in New Mexico and Arizona. But she couldn't figure out how to make the trip. It would have been at least 700 miles and taken about 12 hours to drive to the clinic in New Mexico. That would have required days off of work and childcare for her kids. It wasn't possible for us, she says. So she braced herself for 5 months, carrying a pregnancy that would end in a funeral. Can you imagine this motherfucker? See, you Republicans are getting out, you pussy-ass, little whine, spineless little pussy bastards. This is your doing. You're killing a lot. I hate the hypocrisy of you Republicans, you motherfuckers. We don't want to kill any baby. Abortion is against God and everything, but yet you're forcing people to have their babies, and you're forcing them to watch the suffering and the trauma of a living thing that's going to die anyway. And then you got your horny uncle, Uncle Leroy. You know Uncle Leroy. That's the guy on the couch with his hand in his pants, and you know that he's kind of weird, but you have to go to work, and you leave your kids to Uncle Leroy. Uncle Leroy is looking at your kids like they're snack cakes. Nom, 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 nom. How did I get to this story? I'll tell you how I get to this story. There are people who are molested. There are people who are doing this and this and this. And you guys are, I don't know how I got to this story. There's a reason. Figure it out. But I'm just saying there's decisions to be made. How can you take away parents' rights, women's rights, the rights to determine their own health care, the rights to determine their own bodies, and to have them have babies like this? Oh, I know I got Uncle Leroy, because now then here comes Uncle Leroy. You know, you're leaving your 13-year-old daughter in the house. Hi, Mom. Mom's not here. Oh, hi, Uncle Leroy. Hi, Samantha. Why are you pulling down your pants? I don't know. It's hot there. I don't have a belt. Oh, why don't you sit on my lap? I don't feel that is right. Oh, it's right. And you know the story. Then Samantha gets pregnant by Uncle Leroy. And she tells the parents, and maybe she doesn't tell the parents, but then she goes to the clinic and she got to get an abortion. And guess what? They won't allow her to have abortion. She won't even, but they will tell. If she goes to another state, there's people who will snitch on her, and they get a reward for snitching on her, but they won't take Uncle Leroy out of that house. Because even if it's incest or rape, the new law now says that you cannot have an abortion. It got to that point. So the woman goes back and says those were the awful weeks, she says. She started on antidepressants. She also began to work remotely. She does document processing for a corporation. There was no way I could go into the office because I couldn't hear the O's. And my gosh, how far along with you? She knew the baby was going to fucking die, man. Fucking die. She also had to keep taking time off of work. For frequent doctor's appointments that are necessary during pregnancy. Being in the OBGYN waiting room was painful. I didn't want to go to the doctor's office, she said. I don't want to sound hateful, but I don't want to see all these pregnant women, and I'm over here carrying a baby. I love my baby, but she should be at rest by now. I just keep thinking that over and over, my baby should be at rest. I shouldn't have to put up with this or go through this. In March, she reached out to First Touch Family. It is a recently founded Christian nonprofit organization in East Texas that supports parents who have lost a child. She hasn't even lost a child yet. She's still carrying a child, but she's already going there. This woman describes herself as an organized, as pro-life, set up a fundraising page for Halo Funeral and paid for professionally maternity and birth photos. The fundraiser only brought in $480. $480. Our fundraising effort for her has been not very good. She says, adding that a GoFundMe campaign Casino's aunt helped her set up also hasn't gone very well either, only gathering $20 donation in the first week. I think people are scared of it. The Casanos also looked into donating the baby's organs. She thought, maybe this is why this is happening, because my baby can save another baby. She says, I was told that, again, I can't pronounce it. I'm sorry. It's A-N-E-N-C-E-P-H-A-L-Y. Anencephaly. Babies do not qualify to donate their organs. So I was like, okay, I don't see the purpose in this. At this point, you have to do question God. You know, we talked about it. At this point, it's like, what are you doing, Lord? Why are you making this woman suffer? What is the purpose of this? Why are you making the baby suffer? This is where you question God, and we shouldn't question God, but maybe God had a plan for this baby, saying that we need baby souls. I don't know. In the end, the daughter came early at 33 weeks. Labor was painful. The baby was delivered. It was a breech. She needed an epidural. Some of her brains were not fully developed, like the Republicans. We call them Republicans. When she came out, I was just like, oh, my God, I was just numb. She says her husband really believed that there was a possibility the baby would be okay, but she only lived a few hours. When she did die, it was heartbreaking to him, she says. They each took turns holding her. Having to see my own daughter that way was just so hard. That is the abortion law in Texas. This is what DeSantis is bragging about, smiling and happy about what has happened to women all over the world. You haven't heard enough baby news? How about this one in Ohio? Her miscarriage left her bleeding profusely in an Ohio ER. The Ohio ER sent her home to wait. This woman had a miscarriage, kicked her out of the ER, and sent her home to wait. Why not? Why not? They needed the room. Christiana and her husband, they were so excited. She got pregnant. Yay! This was in July. It was her first pregnancy at age 33. Everything was new with her, you know, but during the ultrasound at her initial prenatal appointment in Washington, D.C., there was no heartbeat. What? The blood work was taken a few days apart. It showed her pregnancy. Hormone level was dropping. Uh-oh. A doctor from the OBGYN office called her to confirm that her pregnancy had ended in a miscarriage. See, you don't, let me tell you something. And I don't know if it's true because I'm not a woman, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, and I'm not no OBGYNHIPTPP. You know? I was going out with this chick. She calls me up. And she says, honey, you're going to be a father. And I was really happy. I said, whoa, good. And I'm thinking right then, I could dress a kid like me. He'll be like me. He's going to want to play football, blah, blah. And go, what if it's a girl? Well, it's a girl. I'll dress her like me, and she'll play football. Yay, yay. Happy. She called me up 3 hours later saying that she flushed my kid down the toilet. Flushed my kid down the toilet. What the fuck? She claimed she had a miscarriage and she's seen parts of the baby. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. But to this day, and this happened long ago, but to this day, I wonder if it is true. One day I'll look it up on the internet to see if that is possibly true. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I have to find a nurse who can talk to me and kiss her on her bum. Let me see. So anyway, So a doctor from her OBGYN office called her to confirm that her pregnancy had ended in a miscarriage. They laid out her options. Take medications to make the pregnancy tissue come out faster. Have a dilation and, I don't know what the curettage or DNC procedure to remove the pregnancy tissues from her uterus, or wait for it to come out on its own. The doctor suggested she wait, but didn't tell her how long that it can take. After a few weeks with no change, she looked online and read that for some people, it takes weeks before the vaginal bleeding starts. So I counted myself as one of those women. It was just taking longer for my body, and I tried to put it out of my mind, she says. Out of my mind. On a drive to Ohio, I had some really heavy bleeding to the point that we had to stop and clean out the car and change all the clothes, she said. She assumed her body had passed the pregnancy tissue, and that was really probably it. But that wasn't it. The next night around 4 a.m., she started to bleed again, a lot. She crawled into an empty bathtub at her dad and stepmom's house so the blood wouldn't make a mess. Blood soon filled to the bottom of the tub. Blood. Lots of blood. Blood, 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 blood. It's like a vampire orgy. Blood, 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 blood. I was passing blood clots the size of a golf ball. That's what she said. She woke up her husband, and they called a nurse at her insurer's advice line, who told them to go to emergency room. Then her advice line. They arrived at the university hospital around 6 a.m. Medical staff there. They did her blood work and her ultrasound. Again, there was no heartbeat. There was no heartbeat. To check how much blood she had lost, they measured her hemoglobin level. They told her she hasn't lost enough for it to be of concern yet. That's what the doctor says. At this point, shift changes to have happened. I've seen a physician, two or three different nurses, an ultrasound tech, no one for more than a few minutes at a time, she says. The whole time she kept bleeding, filling up diapers with blood. Blood, 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 blood. Blood. One nurse mentioned in passing that a DNC is sometimes needed to get heavy bleeding to stop. I don't know. But the woman says she wasn't offered one, nor was she given any other treatment, not even IV fluids or pain medication. Then about 2.5 hours into the slew of the tests, a nurse, you know, nurses are great. I cannot tell you how great nurses are, man. I cannot tell you how great nurses are. They're great, and I do mean that. It's a hard job for them, too. You know, they come out with injuries and back problems and shoulder problems, turning your big ass over. And then what we do for these nurses, we spit at them, we curse at them, we call them bloodsuckers, and we throw shoes at them. Well, okay, that's me. I threw one shoe. She had a big fat ass anyway. It wouldn't hurt her. Anywho. Let me go back. They said they needed to prove that there was no fetal development. She says, I was told that I could come back in a few days for a repeat hormone test to confirm I was miscarrying. She objected. She told them she already had the laboratory confirmation of her miscarriage. This is weeks earlier in D.C. She tried to show them her medical records on the phone and offer her OBGYN contact information, but she says she didn't get a response. Her husband says the hospital staff seemed hesitant. The two of them wondered at the ER if that was because of Ohio's new 6-week abortion ban. Can you sit around and let this happen to your women, your daughters, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, maybe your mothers? Can you sit around and let the Republicans do this? The spineless, weaselly bastards with no moral, no sense of dignity, no sense of – Anywho, hey, this is a state law that is what we're afraid of. And what little more frank he says instead, he says, paraphrasing what he heard, it was, well, we don't know if this is pregnancy is viable. This could still be viable. This is the information you got in D.C., but we need to confirm it. She says she didn't want to leave the ER, but she didn't know how to protest. On the discharge papers where she had to sign, she says she wrote, I disagree. Then she and her husband drove about 20 minutes back to her dad's house. At this point, I'm assuming that the worst had passed me, she says. As much as she was scared to leave, she thought the bleeding would stop and she would start feeling better. But when she pulled up at the dad's house, she said, I didn't make it back through the door again until there was blood running down into my shoes. Blood running, so much blood that it ran in her shoes. Christina was discharged from the ER in Ohio without treatment for her miscarriage, even though she's been bleeding profusely for hours. The law says in Ohio, in early September, the state had a law known as Heartbeat Bill, in effect, which bans abortion for about 6 weeks of pregnancy. The law passed 2019 and went into effect the same day. The Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade on June 24th. In mid-September, a judge in Hamilton County blocked the law. Ohio's Republican Attorney General has begun the appeal process, and the case is ultimately expected to go to the state Supreme Court. Healthcare providers who violate the law face fifth-degree felony charges, up to a year in prison, loss of the medical license, and fines up to $20,000. And what's at stake? Ohio abortion restriction doesn't explicitly restrict the treatment of miscarriages or emergency care, but it can have the effect anyway. Healthcare providers use the same clinical tools to manage a miscarriage as they do. So bottom line of the story is you're looking for a happy ending, you're not going to get it. This is not Pornhub. The bottom line of it is that they couldn't touch her, and the blood was running down her legs as a miscarriage. There you go. They couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't. Oh, are you don't want to hear any more of these stories? Well, I'm sorry. Here's a headline. Baby dies soon after birth for a Lakeland woman denied abortion despite fetal abnormality. How's that? How's that? A Lakeland woman who gained national attention for being denied an abortion endured the expected death of her baby shortly after delivery. Deborah Dorbo, the subject of a February article in The Ledger, described her experience in an interview for a recent segment on CNN. The piece reported that Dorbert gave birth in March and the baby, a baby named Milo, died within 90 minutes. She was forced to have a baby that she knew was going to die. Now, Florida has an abortion thing after 15 weeks of pregnancy, I guess. The law includes some exceptions allowing abortions in cases where the fetus has a fetal abnormality and has not reached viability, generally considered to be 23 to 24 weeks of gestation. During a routine checkup the day before Thanksgiving, Dorbert learned about her pregnancy had developed into a severe complication. A doctor diagnosed Dorbert, then 23 weeks pregnant, with Potter syndrome. I don't know what Potter syndrome is. Potter. Now you just like school. Brian, will you look it up? I don't want to look it up. Brian, look it up. I don't want to look it up. I'm here for school. You're supposed to tell me. Why do I have books? I don't know why I have books. Why am I in school? Potter syndrome. Here it is. What is Potter syndrome? Harry Potter, a series of seven, no, it's not Harry Potter syndrome. Well, that's what it says, Potter syndrome. What is it? It goes right into Harry Potter. It's not giving me what Potter's, Potter syndrome is, what are the benefits of you? Forget it. I'm not even gonna go there. If you want to do the research, you can do the research. If you're a nurse or something, you should know what Potter syndrome is. Here it is. All I have to do is read further. It's a condition in which the fetus does not receive sufficient fluid and does not develop healthy kidneys and lungs. Oh. Dover said her doctor told her the fetus would not live more than a few hours after birth. The lack of, here we go, medical word. Do we really need me to pronounce this and mock me and laugh at me and bully me? The amniotic fluid in the womb caused pain for Dorbert, and she and her husband, Lee Dorbert, wanted to terminate the pregnancy, but the administrators at Lakeland Regional Health, the network which her obstetrician was affiliated, told them it could not allow the procedure, citing the law. The law defines a fetal abnormality as a terminal condition that is reasonable medical judgment, regardless of the provision. The federal legislature has since passed the bill. The CNN reported it. So that's another one. Are we tired of this yet? Are we tired of this? And you're not? Okay, here's another one. An Ohio mom left her toddler home for more than a week. Now, here's the other side. You motherfuckers. Burn, motherfuckers, burn. Now, these are you hypocritical bastards that saying, I don't want an abortion. Abortion is wrong. You're a murderer. You're cruel. Blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to carry a baby, right? So here's this numbnuts who decide to carry the baby. Oh, here's a headline. Ohio mom left her toddler home alone for more than a week. She's been charged with murder. That's right. You heard me. The Ohio mom left her toddler home alone for more than a week, and she's been charged with murder. An Ohio woman has been charged with murder after police says she left her toddler alone in her Cleveland home for more than a week and returned to find her daughter dead. 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 Officers with the Cleveland Division of Police were called to the woman's home at 7:51 a.m. last Friday when they found the 16-month-old child unresponsive. This is according to the incident report. Medics pronounced the girl dead at the scene. The man executed his neighbor. Man charged with first-degree murder in Idaho, family slain. What? I don't know how this got into the story. The child's mother, 31-year-old Crystal Caldelario, was arrested and charged with murder. Oh, that was another story that you had a link to. It's not kidding. So the child mother is 31. Her name is Crystal Candelero, was arrested and charged with murder. She appeared Tuesday morning in a Cleveland court and has another appearance scheduled for Wednesday. An online court docket shows. The county medical examiner is conducting a full autopsy, though police said they did not observe an overt signs of physical trauma. According to the incident report, investigators did determine that the child had been left alone and unattended for approximately 10 days. I'm a grown-ass man. You cannot leave me alone unattended for 10 days. And this is during which time the baby died, by the way. Are we done with the baby stories? Because this is what you're doing. And DeSantis is not just stopping at abortion. DeSantis is going, he has a call right now. June 23rd, 2023. DeSantis calls medical marijuana very controversial after fighting for it in Florida. He wants to stop marijuana. Kill our babies, but you better not touch our weed. I guess that's what it's selling. Governor Ron DeSantis once held a press conference, blah, blah, blah. On Thursday, during a campaign stop in South Carolina, the governor took a tougher approach to the issue, saying he opposes the decriminalization of marijuana nationally. DeSantis even described medical marijuana as a very controversial, despite siding with supporters of Florida program allowing patients to smoke the drug. There you go. The Republicans are coming after your weed. Yes, they are. All right, our lead stories is the queers are out of control. The queers are getting weird again. That's the title, The Queers Are Getting Weird. And we're going to come back for it after I get some coffee. We'll be right back.
And I know she'll be the death of me, at least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me, the worst is yet to come. But at least we'll both be beautiful and stay forever young. This I know, this I know. She told me don't worry about it. She told me don't worry no more. We both know we can't go without it. She told me you'll never be in love. I can feel my face when I'm with you. But I love it. But I love it. I can feel my face when I'm best of me, at least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me, the worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary when we're deep in love. Yes, I know, yes, I know, girl, I know. She told me don't worry.
Are getting weird again. Yes, they are. 319-527-6099. If you're queer, if you're the gay, if you're a fag, if you're just you're bi query, come in the studio. I'd like to talk to you. What's it like being a queer? 319-527-6099. 111. You're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson. Hello, 111. You didn't raise your hand, but I just hit your button. You don't have to speak. The clock is ticking. Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. I know you're there. You're breathing. You can't hide from me. I can feel you. I can feel your soul. All right. What I'm going to do, 111, I'm going to put you back on hold. If you want to talk to me, all you have to do is hit the one thing, and I can see a little hand pop up. In fact, we got three other 111s in the studio. I don't know what it's like being a queer. But let me just tell you, they're out of control. Here's why I got upset. See, again, I'm with the union. I'm with SAG, and I'm with the AFTRA. It's union. And the queers are threatening to walk out. They're threatening to strike Starbucks because they're not allowed to decorate on Pride Month. This is why they're striking. This is why they're striking. And anyone in the union don't like to cross the line. You don't do that. So therefore, I can't get my coffee because you got some queer getting upset that he can't redecorate Starbucks for queer month. Now, if you listened to the show earlier, I called the queers. I called the queers. That's what we used to do. It doesn't do any good to call Starbucks because Starbucks is not going to give you that information, and they're going to look at me as press, and they're not going to do it. And I don't know any queer businesses that has queers, you know, queer here, queer there, you know, and the bars are closed, so I can't. Maybe a beauty shop, maybe? You know, some beauty shop name, you know, Very Wary? I don't know, because I would like to talk to a queer. Make a thing. Let me see, since I have freedom in the studio today, it's usually really weird because there's nobody in the studio, I'm talking to myself, but I rarely have time just to talk because four other people are not talking at all. I'm going to see if I can find a gay hotline again. I'm going to call them again. Gay hotline. The gay hotline. I'm going to call the gay hotline. Free and confidential. Here's another number. Let's call this gay hotline again because I like to get some answers. I wonder would they free and confidential. I wonder would they give me some answers. I wonder if they get. Whoa! There's a lot of people in the studio. What the hell is going on here? Uh-oh. 111, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson. 111, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson. 602, what's up? Hi, everybody.
Now, let me understand, Brian. You don't want to talk to me unless I'm a homosexual? Is that it?
Hey, no, I would love to talk. I'm saying I'm giving the homosexuals a free reign. You're one of the morning crew. Are you kidding me? You're VIP. You got the VIP motherfucker badge. You're VIP.
Well, look, man, you're the boss, man. I'm just you. I mean, it's up to you to decide. You maybe you just want to make this a queer friendly venue for today. How am I supposed to know? It's your show. You run it. I just live it. It's your world, man. I'm just living it.
My world. You know, I like the Cuddles. I'm going to name you Cuddles. Did you hear?
Okay.
You stop.
Okay. Hey, man. Hey,
yeah.
Look here, man. You realize that this is basically what's going on at all the big companies, all these big corporations is going on. The employees spend all their time socially engineering the company. Then they get fired in mass. Now, this is why Musk was able to fire 80% of the employees at Twitter without hurting the company. And productivity is now up at Twitter after he fired all them freaks that was working there and not contributing anything significantly to Twitter. Starbucks is the same way, man. It's going to be the same way.
Right now, I mean, I can't believe this story. This is why I'm doing this story. Again, if you guys didn't hear why I'm doing this story, the queers are getting weird again. That's the title. But while I'm doing it, is that I already told everybody, I'm a union guy. I'm with SAG and AFTRA, and I don't cross lines. So it's Pride Month in June, so the gays are getting upset. They're getting upset because they can't decorate. They can't decorate.
But Brian, look.
Yeah.
Look, they got all these baristas at Starbucks who got master's degree in interior decorating working there. Right?
Right.
What else are they going to do? Then where else are they going to employ their skills but at Starbucks?
I don't. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to get my gay coffee. But this is the problem. Wait a minute. Let me go. 602 got his hand up, too. Hold on, Sarge. Stay right there. 602, is this – hello, 602. Welcome to the Gay Festival. Hey.
Good morning, Brian. How you doing this morning, man?
Hey, King. Hey.
What's up, King? What up?
Hey. King, girl,
yeah.
We gay today. We are gay today.
Girl.
Girl.
You don't say, girl.
But
yo.
Hey. So what I'm going to do, King knows. King, remember when we used to make live calls and everything? Remember when you used to make live calls on this show? Nobody else does it on Blog Talk, but
no.
We do.
No, we got to bring that back.
I'm going to call the gay hotline right now, and we got to bring that back. We had some fun with the gay call. So
you should call RuPaul.
I should call RuPaul and get into that drag race. Girl.
Yeah.
I should.
Man, now they got a Starbucks in my hood, man, and I ain't seen no pride decorations. Now maybe it ain't unionized or something, I don't know. But there's no pride. You don't see any outward signs of it whatsoever.
I know. But I wonder how
it's got to be the ones in the more liberal enclaves.
I think you're right, because there's only like 3,700. But I wonder if the whole gays are taking it seriously. I do want to make – I made a call earlier to the gays today. And I talked to – I forgot who I talked to. He was a very nice boy, very sweet, very nice. And I'm going to make one more call. But the reason I'm making a call, because seriously, I want to hear your point. Here's what's happening. I told you the headline. Starbucks workers united to strike over alleged restriction on Pride Month decorations. They're striking over decorations, and I told you that once you're with the union, you can't strike. You don't want to cross the line. But come on, man. I cannot have coffee, and you guys want to strike because you can't decorate on Pride Month? Employees at roughly 150 unionized Starbucks locations across the U.S. are going to strike Friday. I guess that's today. In protest of the company's alleged decision to prohibit Pride decorations in certain stores. Starbucks.
Man, look, Brian, I tell you, we got 30 days of Pride Month and one day to honor this nation's honored war dead. One day.
Is that
one day.
Something? Is
30
that,
days
isn't that
of homosexual degeneracy and persistence of perpetual indulgence doing pole dances on crucifixes and whatnot, being celebrated by all these big corporations, and one day for this nation's honored war dead.
Right.
And half the people don't even know that the purpose of the day is for that anyway.
I know.
And this is something I'm a bit off here. I don't know if you think maybe the same way, but I kind of think that way. Something's a little bit skewed.
Well, you know, I'm caught between a rock and a hard place, you know. My views on this. I don't care what you are, even if you're transgender, and I think if you're transgender, you got mental illness. I'm just personally thinking that. But even if you're transgender, if your civil rights are invaded, I'm there. I'm a civil rights guy. Gays, I have no problem with the gays. I have no problem with them. I'm in entertainment industry, for Christ's sake.
When is it a civil right to decorate an employer's
I hear you, sorry.
When did a trans
right.
provide no civil right? This
right.
contract, I understand, between employees and employers, but where in their contract with their employer does it say they have a right to decorate with rainbow flags, which might alienate a good deal of this customer base? Where? If you say that, show it to me, and I'll shut up.
I know. See, this is where it gets rough. I'm surprised the union really honored this. I know, but I'm surprised the union even honored this. You know that we're going to strike and hold up Starbucks because we can't decorate for Pride Month. And I'm really surprised at that, and that pisses me off. That pisses me. Really pisses me off.
Can we also discuss to what extent Starbucks is heist on its own petard?
Yeah. Well, I
mean, they encourage this kind of thing. They actively recruit people with this sort of mental illness.
Yeah, well.
They say we are looking for them. We want them. They get them, and they get this. Why they act like it's a crime?
Right. But I want to be clear. I don't think homosexuality is mental illness. I think transgender is mental illness. Homosexuality, Sarge, I think there are some people who are just born that way. I'm with Lady Gaga, the prophet Lady Gaga.
Oh, no. I do think there are people who are homosexual born that way. I think it is a mental illness. Now people are born with mental illness, like transgender.
Even homosexuality? Do you believe homosexuality? Really?
Yes. The question is degree. To what degree is homosexuality a mental illness? That's all. People are perfectly functional with mental illness. A lot of people hear me on your show and say that I'm crazy, but I'm functional.
I bought your T-shirt.
You can be functional with a mental. Yeah, well, look, you can be functional with a mental illness.
Right.
Well, nobody's saying they got to be incarcerated or anything. I think we should acknowledge. Mental illness when we see it. Many people in this society right now are trying to say not only is transgenderism not a mental illness, it is something to be desired and cultivated. You see, they have to go around the bend on this thing because everyone understands it is a form of mental illness. Everyone does.
Right.
So in order to counter the natural perception of most people, they have to go around the bend and they have to overcompensate.
I understand.
Transgenderism is something we should not only desire and accept and acknowledge and celebrate, we should elevate it and seek to expand it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. Damn, Sarge.
There are literally activists who are portraying them as an ethnic group now.
That's what I'm saying. Genocidal
considerations if you do something to correct their mental illness. This is a form of genocide, according to them. To correct their mental illness is committing genocide against transgender. They're serious.
I know, but you think we can ever just accept and let live, you know?
I've long accepted that an adult has a right to do this.
Right.
That's not what they're trying to do. This is a fascist movement. I'm talking about the activists, not the normally mentally ill transgender. The activists are fascists. They are seeking to impose this on us with corporate business government edicts and pressures. This is a form of fascism.
Could be.
We're being ordered to accept their edicts.
It's here, and we're queer. We can say whatever it is. We can say whatever it is.
But how do mentally ill people behave? Mental ill people oftentimes are tyrants. These people are tyrants. I'm talking about the actors. Mm-mm. I'm not talking about the guy who wants you to accept whatever is mental illness.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'm talking about the ones who are the activists, who are at the leading edge, who create the intellectual foundation for all of you, if you want to call it that.
Well, you know, again, I just want to be clear. I have no problem with the gays, but I do have a problem when they do shit like this, and I do believe what you're saying. The LGBTQ community is getting to be a terrorist organization, I'll say it. I mean, you're going into areas where we have to accept your way or the highway. I can't get a cup of coffee because some guy just couldn't decorate Starbucks, so you want to call a strike, and I can't cross the line because I'm with the union. I honor the union rules. To me, I feel this is terrorism. I think this is because a couple of gay guys can't decorate Starbucks, therefore there's going to be a strike? And we're loading.
And when are we gonna? And by the way, fine. When are we gonna see the Tranny Fest, though? Where's the Tranny Fest, though? From Nashville. Why are they hiding the Tranny Fest from us?
I don't know. But listen,
I mean, every other serial killer left the manifesto. We've seen it. We've seen it evolving.
Well, you're gonna get a tranny. So you want to get a
manifesto?
So one of the tranny. Yeah,
we saw the Uvalde shooters manifesto. We saw the Buffalo shooters manifesto. We saw the other this guy, I can't think of his name. We saw Christopher Dorner's manifesto.
Oh God,
we seen everybody's manifesto,
shit.
But the Tranny Festo manifesto.
Oh.
Why can't we see the Tranny Festo manifesto?
You know what? You have to talk to the LGBTQ lawyer for that.
No, you
have
to talk
to the
FBI. Conspiracy. Why is the FBI doing this? It's the FBI.
Well, the FAG Bureau of Investigation. Oh, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Yeah, okay. I don't know. But let me make this call while I still got my gay self in here, and then we're going to talk on the other side because we got the rest of the day. All right, what I'm going to do is, well, usually here's what happens. I make a gay call. I'm going to make a call. I try to fit it. I'm gay. I don't know how gay I'm going to be. It depends on the call. I don't have a script. I don't know who I'm talking to. And so I don't know how it's going to turn out. Sometimes it turns out okay. Sometimes they just hang up on my black ass. And I'm going to make the call now. So, King, you know how this works. And King's up there saying, oh, yeah, this is the part where I change my name on the show. I don't know you.
Yeah.
You know how it goes. I did this before, so I'm not going to do the same thing, but I'm going to do something else. All right, guys. I'm going to put you on mute, and I got to make the call. Don't hang up. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. We're putting on mute. Okay, I'm going to try to get my gay self back in the arena. And the purpose of this call is to find out that as all gays are honoring this strike, or is it just a couple of people in a couple of states? Do they know about what's going on? Because before we go off on all gays, the gays, before we go off on them, we want to know, maybe there's some gays who don't know. So I'm going to be a gay, and I'm going to tell him I'm a little worried about the strike because it's my job, and let's see what they say. That's how it's going to start. Let's see how it works. Let's see if somebody picks up. Here we go. I got to be gay. Let me see. Oh, the call failed. Okay, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to call again. Okay, I got to get in my gay, like, hello? Nope, too low. What up? Nope, too aggressive. Hey, two baritone. Hey, there you go. Let's try it. Here we go. Okay, that call failed. I don't have the other phone number. Damn it, that's the one that they picked up. Stay with me before I quit. Let me see. Hold on, guys. National Hotline. Let's see this number here. There's some hotlines here. These are the numbers. Let's try it one more time before I give up. Oh, here's Trevor. He picked up. I wonder if the same gay guy is going to pick up. I wonder if the same gay, and that's going to be rough. If it's the same gay guy who picked up earlier, I'm going to have to change my thing. Okay, here we go. He did pick up. Sounded like he picked up from home, like he was at home. Maybe he's working from home. I bet you he's working from home. Working from the gay home. I wonder if there's gay homes for old people. You're just going to, okay. Yeah, this guy picked it up, and I know he picked up. So here we go. Here we go. Let me see.
We're glad you called Trevor Lifeline. If this is a life-threatening emergency, please dial 911.
Hey.
This call may be recorded to improve our services.
I got a bend in my wrist. I got to break it.
Trevor Lifeline, this is Kelly. What's
Kelly.
Going on?
Hey. Hi, Kelly. My name is Larry Kelly, and I seem to have a problem, and I called the hotline because maybe you can help me. Well, yes. I'll wait, darling.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm definitely happy to talk with you about what's going on, Larry. Before I kind of dive into conversation with anyone online, I always ask them just a few questions about themselves, and then I always check in with folks around safety related to any thoughts of suicide.
Oh, silly, ask me.
But before,
just ask me. You ask me anything. You just don't hold back. You ask me anything that you want with your little dear heart. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay. Well, Larry, first off, how old are you?
Well, I sound older than I am. I'm a Sagittarius. I'm 33. 33, yes.
Okay.
Let's go with that.
And if you don't mind sharing, Larry, and it's okay if you don't feel safe or comfortable sharing this, what city and state are you calling from?
I'm calling from Tampa, Florida. That's why I'm kind of making this a quick go. Well, yes.
Larry, just to check, with the things going on in your life right now, are you currently dealing with any thoughts of suicide?
No.
Okay.
And whoever's told you that, it's a lie. I am not. I'm happy who I am. I came out about 5 years ago. I'll tell you the truth. What's your name, Cal? Go see Cal. Is your
Kelly.
Name Cal? Kelly. I came out 5 years ago, and it was really rough, you know, especially where I live. But, you know, with the help of my my friends, I feel good about myself. So, no, I have not thought – maybe 5 years ago, but I haven't thought about it lately. I mean, I wanted to put my head into like a lemon presser, but I changed my mind. But I'm okay now. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm just a little upset when I hear that, but I'm fine. No, I don't think about hurting myself. Go on, Kelly.
Okay. Well, you know, those were actually the questions that I had. Yeah, totally, totally. But, you know, when you had at the start of our call, you mentioned just kind of needing to talk to someone about what was going on for you. Tell me more about what was on your mind when you reached out.
When I reached out? Well, I started when I started wearing my sister's panties. I like to wear women's clothes. I like to feel them close to my body. And I was still afraid to come out, but I used it to sneak into that little bitch telling my mother, and they caught me. You know, they caught her panties under my bed and everything. I mean, I made them all nice and everything, and I cut out the pet. I mean, I really made them really nice. And then they started to know. They started calling names, and then the slurs started to come out, and I couldn't take it anymore. I didn't really have a support group. I my friends were all straight. I didn't even tell my friends. I mean, I walked like I was butch and everything. They didn't even know. Sometimes they knew. But I don't think they actually came out and say. So I didn't have that support. So that was the time. That was 5 years ago that I thought about, you know, putting my head in a vise or jumping in a wood chipper. You know, that was it. But then, you know, I found a community in my community, and I went to some of the groups. I feel good. I feel good.
Yeah.
Like James Brown.
Yeah. And tell me a bit more about what's going on for you today, Larry.
Well, today I'm really worried today. See, here's my problem. It's Pride Week, and I love Pride, But what's going on is that I heard that, see, I work at Starbucks, and I hear that, and we got the little notice from Starbucks saying that we may go on strike because they're not living up to celebrating Pride Month. And that they're thinking about striking, and I don't want to go over the striking line, but I need to feed myself. You know, I live on my own, a little tiny apartment. I got a nice little thing right there. It looks like a little Barbie house, but it's mine. And I just don't want to cross that line. And I don't know what to do, but I need the money. So I'm calling for some help, and I can't really talk to nobody. You know what I'm talking about, darling?
Yeah, and it sounds like right now, you know, you're worried about how – going on strike with your union would potentially put you in a tough place financially, and not sure who else to talk to about it, but needing to figure it out before that possibility really comes up.
Yeah, but do you know anything about this strike going on with Starbucks and Pride Month? Is it just in my area? Because I don't hear it nationwide. I mean, I just hear it, you know, where I am. But is this a national strike that Starbucks against Pride?
You know, I'm not actually sure, Larry. It's not news that I have heard recently. Our conversation was the first time I heard about it from anyone.
Right. You could Google it. You can Google it, and you can find out what I'm talking about. But that's what I'm struggling. You can call me Lar. I like to call me Lar, L-A-R. Larry is
okay,
what
Lar.
My dad named me, and he was just brutal. He was just a bad man, and he always wanted me to man up, and I am a man. You know, I am a man, Kelly.
Mm-hmm. There's so much pressure. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
I gotta get a tissue. This is so rough on me.
Okay.
What am I gonna do? I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I go through these changes sometimes. It's hard. I feel so ashamed. I'm a grown-ass man, and I'm crying like a little, you know, gay baby.
You know, Lara, it sounds like you're also in a situation that's really tough, you know, still not necessarily having all the support you need, wanting to cross the picket line,
exactly.
And not knowing whether or not you will be able to get the support you need to continue to pay for your bills, to continue to be able to pay to feed yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. You know, I could work in porn. I got a friend who works in porn, but I don't want to do that. You know, I like my body. I just know it's just so confused. I feel like a squirrel. I can't get a nut. I just don't know what to do. You have any advice? I'm going to take some more of these medications. I got some medications from my friend. Sometimes when I take these medications, they make me feel better. I'm just going to take a handful of these medications. I think I'll feel better in about an hour.
Okay. Well, I do want to check, Lara, and ask, you know, what experience you have with those medications in the past, if that's something you have used to help yourself feel better. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I only take a couple of oxycontins, and I mix them up with some codeine, and I do a little marijuana, and then once in a while I do it a little toot-toot. But I'm not a druggie. I just got anxiety. And, you know, when I run out of my Xanax, I just have to reach for something. A friend of mine helped me out. They just helped me out, but I'm okay. I sound like a mess, but I'm not a mess. I'm really together on this.
Well, you know, Lara, it sounds like what is really going on specifically, what's at the top of your mind right now is, you know, the financial risk that comes with a strike. And I guess, you know, I know you mentioned that you have – go ahead.
It's the financial thing. If I can't go to work, I lose my apartment. And I mean, it's not the best apartment in the world. And there's some rumors that the landlord, you know, he doesn't get along with us. And he's very crude. But I don't want to make any waves. So if I miss my rent, I'm out on the street. That's my worry.
Yeah.
That's my worry.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I should get another job. So that's why I called you, Sugar. I called you because I want to know if this strike was going on nationwide or was just in my area. Because if it was just in my area, then maybe I could reach out to a community to help. I don't know. Can I borrow $50 from you? Maybe, and I could pay you back because you sound like a nice guy.
Yeah, you know, Lara, I'm actually not able to directly provide financial support to anyone that reaches out.
And in seeing, that's it. That's as far as I can go. There you go. This could go on forever. How's that performance, buddy? Yeah.
Man, you have me convinced. I'm ready to intervene and help you out now. I'm getting worried about you.
There you go. That's what our phone call is all about. That's what we do. And end scene. There you go. Thank you.
But you know something, man? While you were on the phone and all that, I was just had a couple of thoughts came into my mind. And look, you know what I think, man? I think the mainstream media, that hand in hand with the environmental social governance outfit, they're shutting this thing down early than I thought, as far as, you know, realizing that it's counterproductive for what they want. But I don't think it's really capitulation, like this the thing with Starbucks and their resistance action by the employees. I mean, look, let's face it. Starbucks is all in on the LGBTQIA+, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean, agenda, because they got to have, by percentage, the largest amount of queer employees there is. And I'm talking about the kind that moonlight is Antifa workers. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, these actions, I think they're meant to keep this hugely big-time wedge issue out of the election year. That's
right.
Why they pimped Dylan Mulvaney. They pushed the envelope just to see what the tipping point was. They didn't calculate on the blowback. I mean, you know, I bet you there's a lot of people, a lot of conservatives and normal people who, you know, own Bud or Starbucks stock or Target stock, and they'll be happy to take a hit in their equity cost these people an election. Now, look, Mulvaney had a limited shelf life, you know,
right.
Now that he's imploded, okay? He's kind of in a Marilyn Monroe split phase, maybe to keep him getting recognized. And they got to get all this out of the way so it doesn't poison the White House zombie and his shitting America diapers again mm-hmm. campaign. So
mm-hmm.
the beautiful damage that's been done to Anheuser-Busch and Target and now Starbucks, the ESG folks, these governors, these environmental social governor bunch, they've gone in a shut it down mode, just like the mainstream media did by January 1st. 2016 and January 1st, 2020. I bet you could go on Google right now and search for keywords for like news reporting and keyword Google search tranny LGBTQIA plus all that, and look at the charts over the past 10 years. It's unreal what we're up against. The push for this is like a blitzkrieg, man.
Mm-hmm.
And look, but look, I say, if you are opposed to this,
mm-hmm.
don't get tired. Keep this
right.
issue alive until Election Day 2024. Don't let it up. Put their words back in their face. All you got to do is repeat what they say. You ain't got to make up
right.
nothing about them. You ain't got to say nothing about them being degenerate. You ain't got to say nothing about them being godless. You ain't got to say
right.
nothing about being filthy and disease transmitting. No, no, you just don't do that. Just put their own words back at them. It's like
right.
when Frank Capra used the, you know, much of the stuff he used during World War II in his anti-Nazi propaganda was not to necessarily condemn the Nazis being bad people. He just showed what they were doing. He showed their propaganda. He showed images of stormtroopers and, you know, marching and all that. And that was most of the message. That's all
mm-hmm.
we got to do is show them. Show
right.
them.
Right.
And we don't have to make anything up. That's why when the Libs of TikTok ran into such trouble, that woman with the Libs of TikTok, all she
mm-hmm.
did was rebroadcast what they were saying. And she was accused of being a hater.
I know.
They understand
know.
What's at stake. They know.
I know.
They know how crazy they are. And they know if we see enough of it, most of us are going to realize how crazy they are, along with being tyrannical and fascist.
I know. I know. But, you know, I don't even know what to tell you. I don't know. Well, you know.
Well, you do. You're saying it. I'm trying to encourage you and get it out. I'm going to help you get it out. Get it out. So don't be scared. Don't be scared. Get it out. Say it. I mean, we've been intimidated into not telling the truth. The reason, like I told you before, Brian, the reason we got this issue with transgender men and men in women's sports and completely ruining and destroying and occupying women's sports because we can't tell the truth that male competitive athletes are superior to female competitive athletes. Superior, not just different. Superior. That's why we have women's sports in the first place. Otherwise, everybody would just be one, come all, winner take all. The reason
right,
we put
right.
women's sports in place is so women can have a chance to aspire to be a champion one day in whatever
right.
sport it is.
Right.
As long as men are there, they'll never be a woman champion in any sport involving speed, strength, or power. Never.
You know, and that's the one thing.
Because we can't
God
tell the truth. Because we don't want to acknowledge the fact that men are superior in anything. In everything. A woman can do everything just as well or better than a man. It's like a mantra. You're supposed to repeat it over and over again. You're not supposed to question it. And then when we see a reason to question it, because we're locked into this religious liturgy, we can't tell the truth. The reason is why we're opposed to men and women's sports.
Somebody's going to get
seriously
hurt.
We can't tell the truth.
It's like
this with everything that cripples every social policy issue today.
But, okay, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question. If we're all lucky, one day we're going to end up in a hospital. And listen to what I mean by that. A life-saving situation, or as we get older, preventative, you know, whatever. Now, you're in a hospital, Sarge, be honest. You're in a hospital, and you know it is very capable. The hospital is very capable, and you find out that your head nurse is a transgender. What do you do?
Okay. Again, let me. The assumption is, and you have to take this as an assumption, even though we know this is
right.
What I'm about to say next is being weakened by this idea of equity. We
okay.
have to assume the person there is qualified, is
right.
aware of their oath, and they're going to take
right.
their oath seriously. As I said, I'm not going to change my mind on the fact that I believe transgenderism is a mental illness, but people operate on a spectrum of mental illness. And
okay.
I have to assume that this person's
yes.
mental illness does not make them dysfunctional at their job. Now,
right.
I don't know if that's true or not, but there's certain assumptions you got to take going in, given the realities of what we're up against.
And I guess my point...
I'm not concerned about them being transgender. I'm concerned about their competence.
Well, I understand,
and the problem is that their competence comes into question because of this rampant social pressure today. That's why it's questioned, because people are not concerned about competence more than they are about diversity.
I understand. Now, and I say that scenario because I'm sure there's somewhere in this world that there is some people who are transgender people who are in positions of life-saving situations, whether they're EMTs, whether they're nurses, whether they're doctors, whatever, because they're human beings. And so if I'm in a hospital and I saw a transgender coming to me, and, you know, she looks all good and everything, I hear, hello, boy. And first, I would make the little slow-ass scream. But then she's going to be my best friend. And I'm going to tell you something. She's going to be my best friend because she's my nurse. And she's here for her abilities. And she's been trained, hoping to be the best. And I don't really care what's underneath her panties or her boxers or the Adam's apple that's hanging down while she takes my temperature. And that little turkey neck is going gobble, 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 you know, moving my nose back and forth. I'm thinking that this is the nurse. So you made the point. If we can accept the transgender in positions of honor, meaning judges and councilmen and senators and police officers and blah blah blah. Why can't we just and we accept them because not who they are, what they do in their personal life, because of their ability and their professionalism, and they went to the same training that anybody else went. I'm trying to think. Why can't we just accept them for who they are? What do you think, Sarge? You're a former police officer.
I think the issues that confront us today have almost nothing to do with accepting people who they are. It's about accepting an agenda that's being force-fed to the American people who are being told what to think about it.
Yeah.
It's beyond it. I've long ago accepted people what they are, even though I believe they have a mental illness. Again, people are functional with a range of mental illnesses. That's none of my business. A lot of people gamble too much. That's a mental illness.
Yes,
all kind of mental
yes.
illnesses out there, but there's a problem with transgenderism. You're not allowed to say it is. All the others
right.
you can say it is. Alcoholism,
right.
you know,
right.
being you know, sexually promiscuous. Any number of things. You're allowed to say these are mental illnesses. These are things you should strive to better yourself in and even to rid yourself of. With transgenderism, no. It's the one mental illness that's supposed to be protected. We don't understand this is not about acceptance.
Right.
At least not at the activist level, it isn't.
Could you ever accept? I don't, you know, and you heard me talk about transgenders. I'm not a hypocrite. I do believe that when I hear that, and I read the story about the kid who was in eighth grade and he's a transgender, I believe that, let's just get to the bottom line, anybody below 18 years old who can't make a right decision or have enough information should not go under steroids and mental counseling. I think it's child abuse. I think when you turn 18, you could read about it, you give them pamphlets, but I think it's up to the parents to say you are refrained from taking steroids. You cannot do an operation. You cannot do this. I understand what you're feeling right now, but when you're 18, there's certain rules. When you're 18, you can make that decision. But I am totally against, and then it makes, I feel kind of bad because like I'm against transgender children. And then I'm trying to think, is there such a thing? Because I don't know. I don't know. And I kind of feel, I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't know if this is something that is created by social media, that it's a thing that, you know, girls, I remember when girls used to come home and they used to be tomboys. We used to call them tomboys. I remember a girl could kick this guy's ass on every block, but she didn't think she was a boy. That's the problem that I have right now. That's the one I'm focusing on right now, that I think they should be 18 to go under the medical guys of a doctor and change your DNA. I know I'm just saying it, but just to change who you are, to change your sex.
You can't change your DNA.
You can't. I mean, I didn't mean the DNA, but to change your sex. To change your sex and to put testosterone blockers in a young boy. To put a testosterone blocker in
it.
Yeah, I know.
You can't tell the truth. You can't change your sex. Now, if you're going to use this verbal construction, and that's all it is, that gender being different from sex, okay. I suppose if you accept that premise, yes, you can change your gender. You know, that which is how you view yourself sexually. You cannot change your sex. It is a physical and biological impossibility. It cannot be done. No matter what alteration, mutilation you can, anymore they make surgery, make it look like they, well, I'm a cat.
Right. I hear you. I know. I know.
Well, I mean, we cannot accept their false premises.
I know. I know, but sooner or later we're going to have to accept it. We're going to exist in this world.
No, we don't. No, we don't. I don't ever accept it. I don't care what they do. Y'all can have a brave new world. I ain't living it. I'm not going to do it.
Sorry.
I believe you will.
You got a bigger heart. You got a bigger heart than what you're saying right
now. I'm not
going to
do it. Brian, I'm not going to do it. They sent me to do it. But I'm not going to do it.
Okay. All right. So, you know, we have – it's Friday. I'm going to give you – you know, let me see. I was going to play to understand the queer folks. I was going to play a TED Talk, which is Queer Aid, and I don't think we need to. You and four other people were in the studio. It's 111, so we know what queer is. And I was trying to say that maybe we can understand what queer is, but we know what queer is. So I'm not going to play that. I will talk about something here. You know, I was thinking about Donald Trump last night. I was. I really don't care about what charges that he has pending or future charges. Because what's going to happen is that he's going to lose. He's going to lose badly. And the thing about it is, I know people talk about Biden. Do I want Biden to run? I'm a Democrat. No, I don't. Excuse me. I try to hold back my cough. Hold on. Okay, I'm back. Biden makes me cringe. Biden makes me nervous. Biden makes me crazy. I wish there could be another person who can run against him. But these are our chances are. And if Trump goes against Biden, he's going to lose. He's losing. He's already been down in the numbers. And I think, forget about all this. Forget about all these charges. This is going to take Trump down. This is going to take. No. The only thing that will take Trump down is if he let him run. Let him run. You know, don't get desperate on him. Don't rush, take him to court. Don't try to blah, blah, blah. Because it sounds like you're afraid of him. It sounds like, oh, we got to impeach him a third time so he can never run again. You're giving him too much power. He's 78 years old man who lives in Florida. This is what he did. He lost a lot of times, whether you're a Trump fan or not. I mean, it's time to build the bridge. But so here's my problem, Sarge. I kept thinking. I said, I want him to win. And now he's president of the United States. So here's what you got. You got a man who wants to put a nuclear weapon in a tornado to extinguish it, who wants you to do bleach because of COVID-19, who asked the question when he was running, we got nuclear bombs, why can't we use them? He alone beat ISIS. We go on and on. This is now your president. Because what's going to happen, Sarge, is he's going to spend, and he's going to spend the first 2 years payback. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be payback. He's going to go after all of these people, including Democrats and all this stuff, come up with this, what you did to me, I'm going to do to you. And some people say, okay. But you know what? This has nothing to do with me. You know, I'm going to get you, and I'm going to get you, and I'm going to get you, and then we're going to open this case again with Hunter Biden, and we're going to make sure this time. But the problem that I have to fear with Trump, he doesn't have the guardrails this time. He won't have the guardrails. Trump is going to get people who agree with him. He's doing it now. This guy, he's taking this guy's opinion over his lawyer's opinion when his lawyer's saying, please be quiet or please take the deal. We can make this go away. But he's taking this other guy, this conservative religion guy, I forgot his name. He's taking his opinion. And that's what's going to happen. He's going to fill the White House full of yes men. Yes, man. Yes, sir. And the guardrails, even though he was kind of on the edge before, but at least he had some real, you know, guardrails telling him no. And it's not a coincidence that most of the people in his administration started writing books about him. They said they couldn't believe what happened and were afraid to leave him alone. So if this is what you want, if this is the president that you want, a vindictive president who's going to go after every Democrat, if you want that, that's fine. Or a president who's going to fill his cabinet with yes men, and we may have World War III going on for 4 years, I say go for it. Go for it. But it's less painful for that to happen than hearing all these charges again and he's going to court again, and there's another woman that said this again, and now we got it with June 6th, and now we got him in Georgia, now we got him in New Jersey, now we got him in New York. It's exhausting. So I give you Trump. I give you Trump. I give you the president. Let him fill his cabinet full of yes people who's in his ear. Let him go for the first 2 years of vengeful payback. Let him do it and get done with it. Because DeSantis, that dude is fucking crazy. He's fucking nuts. He doesn't know where he's going. He has no backbone. He has no spine whatsoever. All he talks about is woke this, woke that, woke this, woke that, ban books. We don't need that in transgenders. We don't need that in Florida. Dude, shut the fuck up. You're like a pirate, and you're trying to take Trump's support away, and you're trying to walk that gray line. I mean, we need a president who doesn't lose, but I need your people, Trump, to win. Your thoughts, my friend. But yeah, I'm giving you Trump. I'm giving you. Let the vengeance begin. Let the craziness start. There you go,
Brian.
I'm
first of all, I have to deal with the legion of mischaracterizations that you just sprouted there. I lost count after 10. But look, first of all, let's get one thing straight. I'm not predicting a Trump victory. I'm not predicting a Trump loss. Thing is so dynamic, I would be almost foolish to attempt to make a prediction at this point. Here's the only thing I can say with absolute certainty. Trump will lose if there is not significant electoral reform in the states where he lost, the five states where he lost the electoral count by a total of 33,000 to 43,000 votes. If that is not done, he will lose. Now, absent that, assuming there is election integrity, that is reasonable, you never get 100%, he gets himself within the normal rate, not like what happened in 2020. Then I say it's up for grabs. It ain't for sure either way. Second of all, Donald Trump, if he asks a question, can a nuclear weapon stop a hurricane? It doesn't say I'm ordering it to happen. He's asking the question. So he goes to the experts in his commission to ask Billy Jovan, what is the downside? I'm going to assume they're going to tell him, no, Mr. President, that's a crazy idea. So he doesn't do it. I mean, the fact that he asks about it is this indication of his concern about whether or not it can work. After all, things like this, we used to talk about nuclear bomb engineering all the time back in the 50s. He never told anybody to put bleach in him. He was using an analogy. He was at Columbia University. They were talking about using ultraviolet light, which is a known killer of viruses, to kill viruses, and he was analogizing the ultraviolet light research being done at Columbia University to putting bleach in, to using bleach. He analogized it. I heard the speech. They lied. Why are you repeating these lies? Don't fall for this okey-doke. Here's what I mean about Trump. We've got to deal with all these mischaracterizations and things they say that is faintly untrue, because they want to do it to these people and elsewhere, and the Democrats are the most dishonest sons of bitches in the history of mankind. Don't believe anything they say until you check it for yourself. Anything. Now, as to whether or not Trump is going to embark upon a campaign of revenge, look, enforcing the law as chief executive is not undertaking revenge. We now know, based on what we got from Hunter's laptop, from the testimony of whistleblowers, from the testimony of people coming forward to say what was going on with the FBI, dragging their feet on all these investigations, we now know that Donald Trump had a predicate to ask for aid from the president of Ukraine in accordance with the treaty enacted in 1996 under the Clinton administration, when there is an investigation announced by the Department of Justice. We now know it. Even if it's not sustained by an investigation, there is a predicate. There's probable cause to invoke the treaty. We know this now, yet the Democrats impeached them for that. Properly fulfills his role to enforce force laws, he is not acting out of a campaign of vengeance. If he does, I will condemn him.
Right.
If he doesn't, he's enforcing people who broke the law. That's what he's supposed to do.
Well, guess what? I think you got your wish, and it is on now. The world that we know it has just changed. Are you ready for this? This is breaking news. This is breaking news.
Uh-oh.
I think you're going to like it, but the world has just changed. I said again, once you fell asleep and you woke up, everything changes so fast, the world has changed. Here's the title. I can't even get my breaking news thing, and I was going to get my breaking news thing. It's like, fuck it. I can't even get that sound bite in. I'll just go ahead and say it. Sarge, breaking news. House votes to advance Bobart's impeachment articles on Biden. Here's the soundbite. They're going to impeach Biden. Here we go.
Recorded votes are requested. Exhibition number having risen, request a recorded vote on this. Recorded votes are requested. Exhibition number having risen, recorded vote is ordered. Members will record their votes by electronic device. This is a 5-minute vote.
They're voting now. This is June 22nd, 2030. This was yesterday they're voting. This
yesterday.
Is agreeing on a resolution. The first time they did it, it didn't go. They're voting, I guess, are they voting again? I thought they're voting right now. On the House floor, Republicans, this is 21 hours ago, so this was yesterday, I guess. I'm sorry. I thought it was today. On the House floor, Republicans and Democrats voted along party lines to approve Representative Lauren Boebert, she's a Republican from Colorado, to send articles of impeachment for President Joe Biden to the House Homeland Security and Judiciary Committee. This is what they're voting on. To fuel your success with Forbes, gain unlimited access to premium journalism, including – oh, that's an advertisement. So, and here's what's the vote. Republicans, of course. Right now, Republicans, 130 say yay. Democrats, 109 say nay. I think we already saw this vote, didn't we, Sarge? I don't think it went through, if my memory serves me.
Oh, no, it didn't, as I recall. And in fact, at this particular point, I'm kind of opposed to an impeachment at this time because more information is coming out, the table is motion, vote on it, and get an impeachment pushed through right now. That means all the other investigations are going to stop. They're going to go to a halt.
Right.
And I think the House of Representatives is on the verge of revealing something truly enormous. They need to get that whistleblower, that Forbes in 23,
right,
detailing the
right
bribery scheme of which Biden, which may have actually affected American foreign policy, both with regard to China and Ukraine, which is perilously getting us close to a nuclear war with a nuclear-armed superpower, or a former superpower, that has more nuclear warheads than anybody else in the world. And his foreign policy could very well have been affected by these bribes he was offered and apparently took.
Right.
Look, anything that short-circuits that right now, I'm against. And that includes impeaching this low-rent bastard in the White House, say to his son of a bitch. But I tell you what, get his secretary, get his immigration, his Department of Homeland Security Secretary, my own, get him. I'm all in for that. Impeach him. In the meantime, get all this information they got now coming out about Biden, and let's see where that goes.
Well, we'll see, but I'm just saying, it is just a shit show.
I do think that resolution failed, by the way. I do think it did.
I think it did. Well, it got the people who they wanted to. I think sometimes, you know, people vote knowing that it's not going to go through so they can be on the record and show their constituents, hey, you know, I'm still right-wing and I'm voting for this. And I don't know. It's just a game they play. Hey, game they play. Remember that song, Sarge? Remember the song, Old School?
Mm-hmm.
Games people play.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to finish up with Sarge, give him the final words, and what's on his mind and what's he going to do for the weekend. And then we'll probably have a good weekend. Sarge like old school songs. I like old school songs, right? You like it, right? Remember that song by the Spinners?
Yeah, give me some Delphonics or Isley Brothers.
Oh, you like the Delphonics? You like the Delphonics?
Oh, hell yeah. Bet you by golly wow. Yes, sir.
Bet you by golly wow. Did they do that?
Yes.
Did they do that? I didn't know they did bet you by golly wow.
Yes, they did. La, 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 la means I love you. Yes.
I don't see
it. That was beautiful music, and literally about in every phrase.
Well, I know "La La La" means I love you. I know they did, but I didn't know. I bet you by golly, wow! Are you sure? Let me see who's got that. Betcha. That was a stylistic who sung Betcha by Golly.
Oh, okay, okay. Excuse me. I'm okay. I'm sorry. I got that.
Yeah, I'm going to say. Well, I'm
but, you know, but this style is so similar. They got to admit, they did a similar style.
A lot of them is. We'll be right back. This song goes out to my friend Sarge, who is my cuddle buddy, by the way. But he doesn't like gays. And we'll be right back.
No, that's just not true.
There's nothing wrong with truth.
I know I can give you that. You know, some of my best friends are homosexual. A couple of them are, because they are, you know, like, they know how I feel about things. But, I mean, they're functional.
I know. There's nothing wrong with two heterosexual men who cuddle in thong underwear. Nobody should raise an eyebrow.
Everyone wants to live their life with them. It's none of my business. I don't have to tell them that I love what they do and what they profess to be actually. And we get along just fine.
I know. You're a great guy. You're just misunderstood. All right, I'll be right back to get a cup of coffee. This song goes out to my pal Sarge. Betcha by Golly Y by the Stylistics, otherwise known as the Deltones. Kidding, no, the Stylistics. We'll be right back.
There's a spark of magic in you.
goes out to my favorite former police officer, Sarge. That's what it is. You know, Sarge has his love songs. Oh, you remember that? Well, you remember this song. But I'm not going to play that because we don't have much time, but I'm going to play my love song that happened to me, you know, back in the day where Brian was in Jerry Curled and Jerry Juice all shipping all over his shoulders and everything. He had his chains out and his, you know, his shirt down to his belly button, not to his belly button, three buttons max. Don't want to give him too much. Don't want to give him too much. And it was one time this woman came up to me, you know what I mean, wanted a little piece of the hammer. But I wasn't a hammer back then. I was just Action Jackson, if you know what I'm talking about, girls. And this really happened. So this song will remind me of this woman. She wasn't the best in the world, but this song reminds me of her. Yeah. That's a big woman. Big woman. Of the disco.
Yeah, where you buying that Joe Tex from, man? Joe Tex, that's the name I heard in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Man, Joe Tex is all right, man.
He is all right. Man, that's when music was music. But I don't know, Sarge. You know, we live long enough, we see a lot of things, and hopefully we'll live long enough to see some new things. Some things we're going to agree with, some things we're not going to agree with. But I think there's one thing we can all agree with. If you could find some friends and loved ones that make you smile and just make life a little easier when it's hard, I think we're doing all right. And maybe we quit worrying about the small things and think about the big things, our grandchildren, our kids, and watch them grow and play and the smiles, to hear the babies' voices and the smile of grandma just looking at the babies. Maybe the little things keep us going. And the other stuff is just noise. Just
yeah.
Noise.
Well, as long as we retain the notion of transcendent objective truth, such as no amount of mutilative surgery is going to render a man a woman. It is impossible. We have to hang on to things like that as truth, like death, taxes, and decomposition. They are just ultimate truth. We've got to hang on to them. We got people out here who are telling us, no, these things aren't real. They're just artificial social constructs. No.
Yes.
Some things are simply the human nature. And human nature is essentially unchanged and unchanging. And these people want to do everything they can to fight the imperatives of human nature. It is frightening. It is staggering, the implications of it all. And we've got to resist all of it with all of our might. No compromise with it. None. I refuse to compromise with objective truth. I refuse. I will never do it.
But no man complained about a woman with fake tits and that she mutilated her body and she got some big-ass tits now. They're not even real. They look like styrofoam
like
shit.
I
agree with you, too.
I mean, I don't mind it for reconstructive purposes. Now, it's different when you're reconstructing a woman because of cancer, some sort of disfiguring accident. That's a different matter. I'm talking about just doing it to sometimes that actually looks grotesque. I don't like it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So I go along with you on that. Not the same thing, but it's akin to it.
Yeah. But, I live in California. You know what happens in California. Everything goes, Look at the Kardashians. They just made themselves into an AI. They don't even look like real people anymore. The lips, the butts, the face, the Botox. I mean, I don't know they're not even real people anymore. But it can go a little bit too far. I want to thank Mr. Sarge for keeping me.
Yeah, but remember, though.
Yeah.
The objective of that type of thing is not to make you think they're not a woman. It's to enhance, unquote, what they are as a woman. This is to transform you on a level which you cannot do unless you can transform the chromosomes in every cell of the body. If you can't do that, you can't become a woman.
True. But I want to thank Sartre for coming in. It's a great pleasure to hear your voice on a Friday. It'll carry me through to Monday. Thank you, Sarge. For your grace, coming in the studio. Always a pleasure, my friend. There's 511 calls.
Thank you for your phone call to make me aware of the travails of people who are in crisis.
Well, you're welcome. Hey, I paid good money to be trained as an actor. I'm glad it didn't go to waste. I want to thank 411s in here. I think one of them is probably Mr. Solution. If it is, have a great weekend. This is Brian Hammerjack. I'll see you guys on Monday. And a great Sarge, please be safe out there. Please be safe out there. I will see everybody Monday. Thank you for supporting the show. Number one on Blog Talk. I dare anybody say any different. Bye, y'all.
Thank God it's
Friday.
Thank God it's
music in you tells you how you can find
everybody, for coming in, man. You guys are the best audience. Have a great day. It's Friday. Make it a great day. And you guys are the best. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you Monday.